I mean, I was hunting, I'd see 30, 40 here at a time.
We're starting. Well, we want to welcome everyone to Murrayville Baptist Church. If you're glad you're here this morning, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you're glad that you're in God's house, say amen.
Amen.
If you're glad, if you love Jesus Christ, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good to see all of you this morning. We appreciate you being here. Let's all stand. We're going to open this service in a word of prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Clay Haynes, if he will, to open us in prayer. Aren't you thankful that we can still meet in the mighty name of Jesus Christ? Amen. What an honor and a privilege, Brother Clay.
Lord, as we gather in your house today, it's just so grateful to be here. Lord, we love you so much. Lord, I ask that you put your blessing on this service today. I ask that you just make yourself present in this church today. Lord, you bless us so much. We're so unworthy of everything that you do for us, but you continue to shower us with love, continue to shower us with blessings. Lord, this time of the year, we just ask that you don't let us forget what Christmas is all about. It's about the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ, who came down, saved us from all of our sins, gave us the opportunity to be saved and to go to heaven. Lord, just want to tell you that we love you today. Just ask that you be with Brother John as he preaches to us. Use him as a mouthpiece. Let us hear the words that we need to hear today. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Beautiful star.
Spread all the grace.
Sunday and singing to us. We understand that the coronavirus is spread through the spoken voice or the exhale of air, and so we try to avoid as much congregational singing as we can and do this in lieu of congregational singing. I sure appreciate them getting up every Sunday and singing their hearts out to us. I've got just a couple of announcements to make, and I want to do something special. The Lord's laid something on my heart this morning. If you're 12 or under, and that don't include you, Brother Dale Hunter, if you're 12 and under, come up here on the platform. We're right over here. There's some chairs over here. Y'all come on. If you're 12 and under, we got some chairs and... He's my designated chair, guys. So he don't think he's under 12, even though he acts like it. Can I get an amen right there? Amen. Yeah, there you go. If you're 12 and under. As far as announcements go, right after morning service, the children's choir is going to be practicing, because next Sunday morning, the children are going to be singing for us. And I'm so looking forward to that and appreciate all the children that God has given us at this church. They're precious. That's a precious gift from God strung across this platform this morning. Well, they don't need the chairs now. Y'all okay without the chairs? Any of y'all want to sit down?
I don't want to sit down. I don't want to sit down.
All right. You just cheated Brother Nathan out of his chair.
Me.
How many of you are excited about Christmas?
Me.
Yes, are you? You can't wait. Have you enjoyed all the Christmas lights and the trees and the decorations and everything that goes around Christmas time? You like that?
Yeah.
Have you been? Do you? Have y'all got your house decorated? You do?
I have my house decorated with blow-ups.
With blow-ups? What kind of blow-ups you got?
I got a Mickey one, a Minnie one, and a snowman.
Amen. What kind you got?
I don't have one.
Y'all. What you got, Walter? What have y'all got at your house?
Well.
Got a tree?
Yeah.
You got lights on the tree?
Yeah.
Who else wants to tell us about the decorations at home?
I do.
What you got?
Well, decorations
and
decorations
on yours.
And we got a polar bear blow up.
You got a blow up?
Yeah, a polar bear.
A polar bear? A what? Polar bear. Polar bear. Okay. A little one and a big one.
Only two.
What you got, Aston?
I have yellow lights wrapped around our front porch.
Around the front porch. Did your daddy do that? He's good at doing stuff like that.
He got it on the ladder and wrapped them around the pole.
Did he really? He didn't fall, did he? Good. Who else wants to tell us about their decorations? What you got?
We got a big Santa thing hanging on the lamp post outside.
Yeah.
And we have a bunch of lights on the Christmas tree. And then we wrapped everything around a pillar outside.
Well, good. So y'all excited about Christmas? Y'all excited about Santa coming?
Yeah.
Huh? Is he coming to see you? Huh?
Yes.
Is he coming to see all of y'all?
No.
He's not. I love kids. They are so honest. Y'all excited about the Christmas trees and the gifts and all of that? How many of y'all have already got gifts up under the tree? You got some?
I do.
Have they got your name on it? No?
My mommy put me and Ellie's upstairs.
Oh, yours and Ellie's is upstairs. I love this. My daddy, when I was coming up, my daddy made such a big thing out of Christmas time. I mean, he just went overboard. And I can tell you some stories about my early days of Christmas. I'm thankful that all of y'all are excited about Christmas. But do you know why we have Christmas time? Do you know why? Why?
Because it's God's birthday.
God's birthday. Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to say something, Will?
Yes.
What?
Jesus
is the celebration of Christmas. That's right. Exactly right. And I wanted to read to y'all from, you know what this is? This is God's holy word. This is his book. And he tells us the truth in this book. And I wanted to tell y'all why we have Christmas. It says in the book of Luke chapter 2, and she brought forth, talking about Mary, she brought forth her firstborn son. Now listen to this. And wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. That's the Christmas story. That Jesus was born. But do you know how he wasn't born in a hospital like y'all were. He wasn't born in a nice air-conditioned place. He was born in a stable where animals live. And you know what they wrapped him in? It says that they wrapped Jesus, this little baby, in swaddling clothes. Do y'all know what swaddling clothes are? Those are the wrappings that they would wrap little animals in when they were first born if there was any trouble. And it was wrapped as a means of helping that little animal. But it said that they laid him in a manger. Do y'all know what a manger is? What's a manger?
It has animals in it.
It has, and they ate. The manger was actually where they would feed the animals. And we see a little picture of hay and things like that. And maybe they did put something down in the manger, but it was actually where the animals would come to feed in. It was nasty. It was just dirty. But that's where Jesus Christ came so that we can all enjoy Christmas. And I want all of y'all to always remember this, that no matter where you wind up in life, Jesus loves you. He loves you and he came for you. And he'll always be there with you, no matter what you go through, no matter what any of you may face in life. Jesus is there with you because he came at Christmas time. Amen? Amen. Can y'all help me sing a song, Amazing Grace? Can y'all help me sing that? All of y'all know that, don't you? Y'all help me sing Amazing Grace, would you? Sing it loud now.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Sing it loud now.
I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but
come on down. I love these children. Give me five. There you go. There you go. Oh. I'm a grand pastor.
Child is this you lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthem and sleep.
Something about Christmas time brings out the child in all of us. Amen. Luke chapter 1 this morning, if you will. Luke chapter number 1. When you find that in your Bible, if you'll stand to honor the reading of God's Word. Don't forget, right after morning service, all of our young people are going to be practicing for next Sunday morning. So be sure to stay around and practice to sing. Appreciate Janet working with all the musicians, working with our young people and giving them something, a part to do in church. Amen. If we don't do something with them and for them, the world will. The devil will. You can bet on that. Luke chapter number 1. I'm going to be preaching this morning with this thought in mind on Mary's Christmas message. Mary's Christmas message. And if you will look with me, beginning in verse number 26 of Luke chapter number 1, it says it like this. It says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin, to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name, capital J, capital E, capital S, capital U, capital S, Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And she shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible." Ooh. "For with God, nothing, nothing, nothing shall be impossible." Without him, things are impossible. But with God, nothing, nothing. We've missed that. We've quit believing that. Nothing shall be impossible. And he proved it through Jesus. And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. The first one to announce the Christmas message was an angel by the name of Gabriel. He came, he was dispatched by God, a girl by the name of Mary. And as far as I can understand, Mary was probably around 16 years old at this time of her life. But God had his eye on her and had a special commission just for her. And I want to preach just for a little while on Mary's Christmas. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, this morning, Lord, we love you, and we thank you so much for loving us the way you do. Lord, it's been good, Lord, with these young children, to hear them sing and play and to hear them just be kids among us, Lord. I'm thankful, Lord, for the heart of children. And Lord, you told us unless our hearts became like the hearts of children, Lord, we'd miss it. And I pray that, God, that you'd please help us, Lord, not to miss the true meaning of Jesus Christ in Christmas time. May we enjoy Mary's message this morning. And we're thankful for everything that you'll do, Lord, among us this morning. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. You can be seated. I imagine sometimes about going to heaven. Sometimes I even have dreams about it and what it will be like when we all get there. And I have to admit, there's many that I want to sit down with and talk with when I do make it into heaven. There's some of my old acquaintances that I can't wait to meet again. And I believe that meeting them in heaven is going to be a lot different than when I knew them on earth. I think about Bill and Edna Morris. I can't wait to see Miss Edna up there in heaven. I wonder what she's been doing. I bet she's been talking. Can I get a witness right there? I can't wait to see Brother George Cartier and see what George has been up to all these years that he's been in heaven. Brother George had one of the most unique gifts of any man that I've ever met. He could take a two-hour job and turn it into a four-hour job every time. I can't wait to see Brother George Cartier again. I can't wait to see old Brother William Souther, that old soldier of the cross, that man that would just tell you exactly the way he believed it, whether you liked it or not. I can't wait to see Brother William again. And Doyle Self. Oh, just to see Brother Doyle. I wonder if he's still wearing cowboy boots up in heaven. Amen. But you know, there's others that I've not met that I can't wait to meet when I do get to heaven. I think about Moses. I've often imagined us gathered as the people of God up in heaven and gathered in a choir. And us all singing Amazing Grace. And just, there's the Lamb of God seated at the throne of the universe. And we're all singing Amazing Grace. And I hear this resounding bass voice. And I look, and right beside me is a long-bearded man, and his name is Moses. And I'm rubbing shoulders with this man called Moses. I can't wait to meet Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the patriarchs of old. And just be able to meet them, the ones that I've read about and preached about down through the years. I mean, they're not figments of an imagination. They are real people who lived and breathed, and God blessed their lives and used their lives in a certain way. I can't wait to meet Zacchaeus. Me and Brother Barry is going to fit right in with him. Amen. And Brother Brandon, we're all going to fit in. I believe we're all going to fit together in that little club of short people. Amen. And I can't wait. I want to meet the maniac of Gadara. I think I've met some down here, but I can't wait to meet the maniac of Gadara and just see all that he experienced when he met Jesus Christ. And there will be Jesus seated on his throne of glory and all of his glory, the one who bled and died and gave his life for us. There he'll be. He'll be the center of attraction. He'll be the one who is worshiped and adored. Every song will be sung about him and his blood and his sacrifice. And oh, what a wonderful time it's going to be when we make it to heaven. But then I have to admit, I can't wait to meet Mary. Mary, this one who was chosen, hand-picked by God to bring in the Son of God into our world. I can't wait to meet her and see her and talk to her. You know, a lot of times we wonder about Mary. Did she know this or did she know that? Mark Lowry wrote a song that is sung mainly at Christmas time, Mary, Did You Know? In the lyrics of that song, he asked many questions. Mary, did you know that the one you delivered will soon deliver you? And he asked another, did you know that when you kissed the face of Jesus, that little baby, you were kissing the face of God? I wonder if Mary understood as she held that little baby in her hands. I wonder if she knew that she wasn't going to be able to keep him very long, because he came for a reason. He came for me and for you. He came for a specific season of time. And nothing could keep him from coming the first time. Nothing's going to keep him from coming his second time. He'll be right on time. He always has been. And Jesus came to us. She held a special place in history, Mary did. Our world is different because God used Mary's life to birth the Son of God into our depressing, sinful world. And I want to preach for just a little while about Mary's Christmas message. I want us to first notice the mention of her name. It's the very first mention of the name of Mary. I thought, as important as Mary is, I thought and I just knew that the name Mary would appear throughout the New Testament in a huge way. But her name only appears 19 times in the Scriptures. And here she is in the very first mention of her name. She's known as Mary, or the son that her husband was Joseph, and she was Joseph's wife. She appears in a genealogy. The very last time that her name appears is found in the book of Acts, chapter number 1. And in Acts chapter number 1, it says, and these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. The very last time that the name Mary is ever mentioned in the Word of God is in the early beginning of the church. She's never mentioned again. Paul did never mention her. Paul never said, well, we need to build an idol to Mary, or we need to pray to Mary. Didn't say that we needed to, that Mary was an intercessor to God. But that is just showing you the few times that Mary appears in the Scriptures, and that God had a specific task for her life. And that task was fulfilled when she birthed Jesus Christ into our world. The very first time and the very last time that her name was mentioned. But consider this. Consider the facts of her name. The mention of her name drew heaven's attention. Matter of fact, before she was ever talked to by Gabriel, heaven was already talking about her. She was hand-picked, hand-chosen, and it was for a reason. It had been prophesied that a virgin would be with child, that a virgin would bring in the Son of God. And Gabriel was dispatched from heaven to a general area of Galilee and Nazareth in particular, but it was one lady, one woman that he was looking for, and her name was Mary. Her name is just a very common name. Her name is the same as Miriam or Maria. And Mary is a very common name. There's 6 women in the Bible who are called by that name, the name of Mary. And you know what her name means? Her name means I was shocked when I looked it up. Her name means rebellion, a rebel. And I thought about that, and I thought, surely she's not a rebel toward God. But as I thought about that, you know, it is good to be a rebel toward certain things. I mean, if we can find the right side and rebel against what's wrong and obey what's right, well, our lives would be a lot better off. And maybe it was that she was a rebel to the flesh. She was a virgin. And not many ladies can carry that title of being a virgin. And maybe she rebelled. Maybe all the other girls were doing what they were doing, but Mary chose the path of righteousness and holding herself for the appointed time. Maybe it was that she rebelled against the flesh, but then maybe she also rebelled against the fears of man. Can you imagine what Mary went through as she began showing signs of having a child and she was not married? And can you imagine the laughter, the mockery that she went through whenever she would try to explain that God, the Holy Ghost, came and overshadowed her and what's in her was not of man but of God? I mean, I know that they laughed at her. They accused whenever Jesus was dealing with Pharisees one day. They looked at him and said, "We be not born of fornication." And don't you know that Mary was ridiculed and made fun of and called a liar and a fornicator and all of these things? And don't you know, knowing the nature of man, that she just really, really took it on the chin for Jesus? But the fear of man was not her calling. The fear of man did not influence her life. She knew what God had done in her. Did you notice what the angel Gabriel said about, "You're highly favored. God is with you. God's blessings are upon you." And can I say this, that sometimes when we carry the blessings of God in our lives, men will make fun of it. There's a high cost for living for God. But thank God, it is worth it every time. It is worth it every time. Maybe she rebelled against the flesh. Maybe she rebelled against the fear of man. And now that she's told, even though she's a virgin, that she's going to be bearing the Son of God, she carries that child to the limit. She carries that child all the way to birth. And he comes into our world because of Mary. Sometimes being highly favored by the Lord of glory will carry some misunderstandings in life. But thank God, when we know that God is with us, who can be against us? When we know that God is on our side, who can be against us? Who can be against our side? Thank God the Lord of glory came to Mary. There's a lot of things in life I don't understand. I don't understand electricity. But I'm not going to sit in the dark until I do. If you want to know something about electricity, talk to Mr. Ray Anderson. He is Mr. Electric. Can I get a witness right there? I mean, I don't understand how that current runs through wires. We flip a switch and a light comes on. I do not understand that at all. I don't understand a combustible engine. Understand how this motor sitting up under the hood of a car can have gas flow through it and pistons slinging and things happening in it and a spark and it drive a car. I don't understand, but I'm not going to walk around till I do. I don't understand a lot of things in life. There's a lot of spiritual things that I don't understand. I don't understand God. My finite mind cannot comprehend the thought of before there was anything that we know about, there was God. Before there was a world, before there were planets, before a sun, before the moon and the stars, there was God in all of His glory just being God. I mean, he's always been, always will be. Never had a beginning. Never will have an end. God, I don't understand that. But I sure do love believing it. I sure believe it with all of my heart, soul, and mind that there is a God out there in heaven that created everything. And thank God I do believe that. I don't understand God. I don't understand the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. There's no way that I can even try to explain it to anybody, but I believe it with all of my heart. And I do not understand how God could come upon a little virgin girl and inside of her was God being birthed into our world. But I believe it from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet that Mary was a virgin and that little child inside of her was God manifest in the flesh. He's always been God, always will be God. And he came to us in our world. Thank God, thank God, thank God that he came because we could not get to where he was. So he came to where we were. And how did he come? He came the same way that you and I come into a world, through birth. He chose, he could have come any way he wanted to, but he came by being birthed into our world, just like you, just like me. He came that way. The motherhood of her nature. Notice with me, she was given just to conceive. She had other children, but oh, not another one like Jesus. I can imagine him growing up as being a perfect child. I don't believe he ever had to tote a spanking. I don't believe he ever had to go to the woodshed. I don't believe that he ever had to be out by his parents. I imagine him as being, can you imagine being raised in the home with Jesus? And your mama saying, why can't you be like Jesus? Why can't you just mind me like Jesus minds me? And can't you, that no wonder none of his brethren believed in him until after the crucifixion. Oh, this was not in the heart of man to do. It was all of God. God came up with this idea. Oh, if God can reach down into dust and form man out of dust and breathe into his nostrils the breath of life, surely God can come upon a virgin girl and create God manifest in the flesh. And he did. He did it all because he loved us. Jesus Christ has a more excellent nature than any. People have said, oh, you Christians think you're sinless. No, we don't think we're sinless. We think our Savior is. He never sinned, not one time. He was the sinless Son of God sent into our world to condemn sin in the flesh. How did he do it? He did it because he never sinned, not one time in his life. People say, oh, you Christians, you think that you're better than anybody else. Oh, no. I think that I'm the lowest of the low, but I came to a Savior who was the highest of the highest, and I bowed my knees to him and said, Lord, would you please forgive me and save me? And you know what he did? He did exactly that because he has a more excellent nature. He became our sin so that we could become his righteousness, and we are saved based on his nature, not on our nature. We're not saved because we're good. We're not saved because we go to church. We're not saved because we sing songs. We're saved because Jesus Christ was the sinless Son of God sent into our world. He had a more excellent nature, but he had a more excellent name. And I don't understand any mother who would want to name their child Jesus. I mean, I'm talking about humanly. I don't understand all the Jesus is running around and all that, because there's not but one that ever bore the name Jesus, who wore that name in honor and who wore that name in glory. And he was the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And thank God for the name Jesus Christ. I'm glad that I can say that name. There was a day in my life, a time in my life where I didn't care for that name. I used that name as slander. I used that name in cursing. But he still saved me. He still saved me and forgave me of all that I ever did. And now I can say that name and call upon that name because he saved my soul. And thank God for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. His name, Mary was the first one to ever hear the name Jesus. You know what his name means, Jesus? It means Savior. It means deliverer. And he has delivered us from so much. Not only has he delivered us from our past sins, but he is delivering us right now. He is delivering us now, and one day we're going to see his grand deliverance when he splits the skies of heaven and comes back and calls us home to be with him. Oh, some of y'all are going to shout in that day. Some of y'all are going to smile that day. Some of y'all are going to have your first spell with Jesus that day, because when he splits the eastern skies and calls your name, you're going to fall up and be with Jesus forever and ever and ever. Oh, what a glorious day. The blood of Christ provided forgiveness for our past, but the blood of Christ purges us now from our present. And thank God for the deliverance. Is there any God who can deliver after this sort? Why, if we stood up one by one in this room and began naming our sins and what God has forgiven us of, it would just shame every one of us. But thank God, his blood is mightier than any of our sins. His blood covers. His blood forgives. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ, which is powerful to purge us from our sins. Thank God. The blood of Jesus Christ is a very present work in all of our lives. He delivered us from the past, but thank God he's still delivering us today from our present sins. I have failed him more since I've been saved than I did before I got saved. But I keep receiving the forgiveness of God over and over and over in my life. And finally, I want to mention this, the message that Mary nurtured. She heard that Christmas message, said that she was going to bear a son. He would be great. He would be called the Son of the Highest, and that he would be the ruler over the kingdom. You know, everybody's fighting over the kingdom now. The Democrats are fighting the Republicans. All of this infighting that's going on, and this one stole that, and this one stole that. I just wonder. I've just got a political statement to make. I just wonder if God put President Trump in office where he did, not for the sake of America, but for the sake of Israel. I just wonder, I thank God for all that he did for America. But what if God had placed him in that position to do what he's done for Israel? He recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. He formed and brokered the Abraham peace plan. And nations, even Morocco, has now joined league in that peace plan with Israel. And all of that has been put. Did you realize that every president before Trump promised to do that but never did it? And now President Trump steps on stage and he does that for the nation of Israel. What if Trump has fulfilled his purpose? What if he's done what God has given him to do? And now God is ready to bring in the Antichrist and the mark of the beast and all of that. And listen, America does not play a part in prophecy. It is Israel. It is Israel. And God has set up Israel and got her ready for the coming of the tribulation and the Antichrist. I'm glad to know that the church is going to leave before that time. Thank God Jesus is coming back. Thank God he's coming back. That's my political statement for the day. Oh, I wish Trump would go back in, but maybe God's through with him. Maybe on the political world stage, God is done with him. God is in control. We've said that over and over again. God is still in control. No matter what happens, God is still seated on the throne of this universe. Amen. It said that He shall be great, and He is. He was and He is great. Why, He could feed multitudes of people with just five fish and a little bit of bread. He could feed 5,000 people with that little lunch. He is great. He was great. But can I get a testimony from anybody in here? He still is great. If it weren't for Jesus Christ, I'd be a mental nutcase. If it weren't for Jesus Christ, I'd be bonkers. But thank God for the peace of God that runs up and down my soul when I realize who it was that saved me. It was none other than God, none other than the Son of God who died for my sins. He didn't send some angel. He didn't send some cherubim. He sent the very best that He had. His name is Jesus, and He's still great to us all. He is still great. He's the King of all. He said that He's going to sit on that throne. You know, sometimes it's easy for us to get to thinking, well, we've heard that all our life. It's never going to come to pass. But brethren, one day Jesus is going to sit on that throne over in Jerusalem. Physically, visibly, every eye is going to see Him seated on the throne of David in Jerusalem. And oh, what a day that'll be when we sit up under the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Redeemed, washed in the blood, and princes and sitting upon thrones ourselves, ruling and reigning with Him. What a day that will be when Jesus sits on that throne. And with that thought in mind, Christmas time. Did you know Christmas time will never be over till Jesus sits on that throne? That's the Christmas message. He's great. He's the Son of the Highest. But He has never sat on that throne yet. And part of that Christmas message is still yet to be fulfilled. And one day Jesus is coming back. And He's going to sit on that throne just like the Christmas message said. You see, there's still hope for all of us. Oh, we hope that something will happen and turn the tide up in Washington. That hope may not ever come to pass. But there's one hope that we have that is steadfast and sure. And one glorious day, He's coming back to our planet. And just as He came the first time, He's coming the second time. And oh, what a glorious day that's going to be. I wondered about Mary. I wondered, Mary, did you know when you were holding that little child all that you were going to be going through? Or should I say it like this? Mary, did you know all of that stuff that Jesus was going to be going through? Did you realize it? She held that little child and heard these wonderful things about Jesus Christ. I just wonder what all Mary knew. But she knew one thing for sure. He came. The message of Christmas is that He came. God with us. Don't let this world beat you down to where you give up all hope. Don't let the things of life so mess with you that you give up all hope. Jesus Christ is still who He is proclaimed to be. He is still the hope of the world. This world does not need Republicans or Democrats. This world needs the gospel. They need a Savior by the name of Jesus Christ. We don't wield a sword and fight. We wield a gospel message that is for every person. Oh, he came in the first century, but he is for all centuries. He came to Jerusalem, but he is for all nations. He came to Mary, but he is for all people. It does not matter. He is still the hope of our lives. He's still the hope. I want them to play a little song for us that I heard the other day. And it blessed my heart, and I hope it'll bless your heart. And they're going to play that, and then we're going to say a few more words and then give an invitation. Turn that up so they can hear. You may be going through. I don't know what you may be facing. Maybe your heart is saddened and just broken. Maybe you've gone through things and it's just discouraged your heart. I promise you this, the Christmas message is that he'll come to you. God with us. God with us. Could we find ourselves across these altars just talking to the one who came to us? This Christmas time, we need him now more than ever. We need the Christ child to come to us and help us. He'll take you. He'll love on you. Oh, it's not what man has said about you that matters. It's that Jesus came to you. Whatever it is, let God have it this morning. Let him minister to you this Christmas season. your heart's just not what it where it should be, if your heart's not where or what it should be, why don't you let him come to you right now? Would you come? Would you come? Let him minister to you. That's what the Lord of glory does best. He's called the friend of sinners for a reason. He'll be your friend when all others have let you down.